Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, and it's at 124. It's almost the month's almost over.
Yeah, it's going quickly. And I was mentioning to my wife, I was like, you know, they're not kidding when they say that as you get older, time passes quicker. I remember those days that I was in my, you know, kindergarten and elementary school class, and it was like forever till the bell rang. Now it's like, oh my God, it's 4 o'clock already? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the irony of time.
Yeah. So we got to give, before we start anything and talk about anything here, we got to give a major shout out to someone who helped us with this. Of course, Adam Curry helped us, but Mark, also known as Void Zero, helping us with all the technicals. There was all sorts of things. Boy, there was hours of work to get this actually live, and hopefully it's streaming right now. But for those of you that are listening, you can also get the live stream on Tuesday evenings at 9 p.m. over on DH Unplugged. There's a little area on the right that says it's either be red or green. If it's green, well, we're streaming live. And you can just click that and a little pop-up will come up and it'll be directly linked and ready to go. So Good stuff. Always improving. Always trying to go to the next level.
Well, yeah.
That's what we do. That's what we do. It's all for our listeners.
Okay.
All right. Anyway,
well,
what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I got nothing to talk about. So we might as well finish the show.
Okay. Well, that stream was good. All right, let's talk about markets. Been in a consolidation mode for some time. We had one day up, one day down, one day up, one day down all throughout 2017. It was almost, I think it was almost every day in 2017 is one up, one down. And today, well, it was on schedule. We had to have an up day. So we did have an up day and the markets rallied. The S&P 500 closed at a record high. The NASDAQ closed at a record high just when you thought things were starting to spill over. Dow Jones, about 80 points or so from the 20,000 mark already.
Yeah, that means it's got to go back down.
Tomorrow. Well, tomorrow, if today was up, that means tomorrow's going to be down, right?
Yeah.
We had some good earnings today. There were some things out after the close. We have some things coming up this week. There's an interesting situation that's brewing. I mean, if you haven't had the opportunity to read any news, if you go there and any news page at all, every article is about President Trump. It's pretty amazing how much press this guy's getting.
I know. He's in office for like a day and a half.
And he's gotten as much press as Obama has in like 6 months. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's almost like they're obsessed.
Yeah, they are. He was meeting with a car dealer or car manufacturers today and, all smiles and shaking hands and saying, we're going to do this. But, you know, you have to build your cars here if you want to sell them here. And put a few different executive orders and actions into play. We'll talk about it in a second. But one of the things that's going on right now is, and I don't know if anybody really cares, is that after we've seen 7 years of declines, the federal budget deficit is projected to begin swelling again, adding nearly $10 trillion to the federal debt over the next 10 years. This is by projections from the not, quote unquote, nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office that say that the strain that government debt will have on the economy as President Trump embarks on plans to slash taxes and ramp up spending is going to be rather difficult, rather overwhelming.
Well, I don't think he's going to be able to do half of this.
Well, he's getting a bunch of things done. I have a variety of things.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying he's not getting stuff done. He's getting stuff done, but it tends to be just like, okay, we're not going to do TTP anymore. We're just bail from that. And then he makes a bunch of proclamations and does some other stuff. He's taking forever to get his cabinet in place because the Democrats are fighting him. And then when he gets them in place, I mean, he looks like he's not doing nothing. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely active, working.
Yes. He seems to be got the Energizer Bunny in him or something. Yeah.
Hey, by the way,
I noticed this during the campaign, the guy was out working Clinton.
Oh, he's Clinton. Oh, do you mean in the campaign? Yeah. I thought you meant Obama. But by the way, while you maybe have a finger on the button somewhere, why don't you retweet that we're live?
I don't have a Twitter account on this machine.
Oh, okay. Okay, Fed speakers are becoming a bit hawkish, and this is right in line with the discussion about the probably with the federal deficit and with the potential for massive amounts of debt to be acquired due to lower taxes, due to massive spending. Not all of them. I mean, Fed Lacker said the committee is at risk of falling behind the curve. He's recently argued that a steeper rate hike path was going to be in the cards rather than different than some of the others. And this is all into the concern that Trump is going to cause faster inflation. Now, last week on the show, I had Harry Dent. You know that guy, right? The guy that's going to, the market's going to crash all the time.
Yes. I wanted to hear how that went.
It went very well. I read his book cover to cover. There was a lot of repetition. You know, he had a chapter, let's say, on the demographics. And then the next chapter, he'll talk about something, but the demographics was kind of in there a bit again. Then he had something about, you know, talking about China and how the difficulty with China. Then he had a chapter on China. Then he went back and said there's all going to be a bubble and crash because of the other couple of things. Now, I don't know if it was intentional or he was looking to add, you know, pages, but it seemed like there's a lot of duplication in there. It was a good book. It was very similar to his others. And the difference with this was, and maybe he was playing to an audience to a degree, was that his tact on this was there's going to be a terrible catastrophe starting in 2017. I think he wrote this in mid 2016, end of 2016 and towards the middle of 2017, 30-40% crash in markets. And
that didn't he say the same thing about 2016 and 2015?
And yeah, he had a few of those, but he had a move, but then he adjusted. That's what economists do. They adjust. But he said there's going to be a 30-40% decline and it's going to be, you know, a terrible pain in all sorts of markets through 2019. And then all of a sudden it's going to be, you know, set the stage for a great opportunity. The opportunity of a lifetime, the sale of a lifetime, where you can pick up businesses and real estate and commodities, you know, gold's going down to whatever it's going down to, and crude's going down to $10. You're going to see, you know, some of the numbers.
Who's not going down to $10?
Yeah, some of the numbers he came up with on the markets are pretty, but now, again, a lot of cycles in here, talking about how the demographic wave is going to hit in, the major, amount of deleveraging the bonds that have been and the debt has been accumulated trillions of dollars over the last decade, not only here, but around the world. But this plays into the whole discussion about inflation. He's talking about there's no possibility that inflation will move or even skyrocket a lot of people are talking about due to all these demographic components and all these cycles.
I don't know how that works, but I'll tell you this. I remember in the early days of the Obama administration during the quantitative easing trend, fad, that all these guys, these experts said, oh, there's going to be nothing but this horrible inflation. We're going to have hyperinflation. Hyperinflation, that's what they were saying. And I'm thinking, how's that work? We can't even get enough money into the system to even stabilize inflation, let alone get hyperinflation. Things were still dropping. It was a depression.
Yeah, well, everybody was on board with the whole idea that there's going to be all this money printing and this massive amount of
hyperinflation.
Yeah, hyperinflation. It seemed logical at the time. But unfortunately, as I see it, this is how I look at this, by the way. What happened in 2008 is that it was like a gigantic meteor crashed in on Earth and carved out a just enormous hole in the middle of the Earth, all the way down. And what happened over those years was that the Fed and governments were just doing their best to refill those holes. And because of that, it wasn't like we're starting out with no hole and they're just shoveling dirt on it and creating a mountain. They still had to fill this up. They're still filling it up. So therefore, inflation had no chance.
Well, hello? It's not going to happen this time either.
Okay, good. Anybody interesting on the phone?
No, I just took it off the line. Sorry. I usually kick the phone off the hook before we do one of these shows. But since we're streaming live.
Why not? We can't correct that. Yeah. By the way, so I don't know if you've been watching this news on Qualcomm. This is really fascinating. They were under scrutiny last week for monopolistic practices by the Federal Trade Commission. By the end of the week, everybody was on board. Apple's on board suing them for $1 billion and all this.
Yeah, give me a backgrounder on this.
So what's happening is it seems that Qualcomm was doing deals for with Apple, for example, that they said, hey, here's the deal. If you only use our chips, we will give you X amount of discount on them. You know, the pricing will be this. But if you start using other chips, you know, all bets are off. We're going to have to, you know, raise price on it. So if you want to get the good pricing and you want on chips, well, we're going to have to sign a deal that does so. So I guess it would seem to me that the FTC got under this because somebody squealed. Somebody said, you know.
Oh.
Right? How else would they find out about something like that?
They couldn't.
Right. So somebody said, you know what? We're really not happy with the way this is going because we want to maybe start using other chips. And, you know, name the names of whatever companies it may be that use that they use those chips. And therefore, they can say, well, if we find this to be a monopolistic practice, then we could probably break this deal and not get hurt by it. And Apple's suing for $1 billion.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully they, you know, this is right on the heels of the complaint or the lawsuit by the FTC.
Yeah.
Stock's down about 20% on all of this.
Which isn't much.
Could go lower, but we'll talk about that maybe in the game.
Oh, you're picking Qualcomm one way or the other.
I'm only picking it because we're in a potentially a bull market. Well, we'll talk about that later. Stick around. We'll talk about what are some of our stock picks like we do at the end of each and every show. All this on dhunplugged.com. If you're listening live right now, you can go over DH Unplugged and check out all our stock picks and find out what we're talking about with the game. Click on the little weekly stock tips area for DH Unplugged. The USD, the US dollar, sinking over the past few weeks. It cracked 100, down about 2% or so. Because as the news puts it, there's skepticism over the ability for Trump to get many of his ambitious goals realized in the near term.
Yeah. But that's why the market's going to keep zigzagging.
I think it's going to... It's fascinating because some of the numbers we had come out today, we saw some home builders come out with some very good numbers today. This is on a kind of a disappointing existing home sales number that we saw from the official readings today. But D.R. Horton was up like 6%. Lennar was up 6%. Beazer Homes is up like 9%. I mean, the home builders really, even with an increase in rates. Now, this is my thesis, right? You remember my thesis? I said that you need to raise rates to actually get the economy moving.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, that's the old everyone gets some. But this is like the market for real estate in the Bay Area. It goes down and down and down. And people, then it gets hits rock bottom and stays down there. And nobody buys anything. It makes it worse. It's stagnant. And then people start buying. And then it goes up and up and up. And it goes way up really fast. And then people pile on.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Well, that's supply and demand. And that's what happens when you have concern. It's the same thing with anything, with commodities, with real estate, even with stuff. When you have a deflationary environment, people are not looking to do things. They're not looking to buy. They're not looking to refinance. They're not looking to add on because, well, you know, rates will stay low for a long period of time until that time comes that they're pushed. And once they're pushed, they start panicking. So when they, you know, and this is where we're going from here.
Yeah, well.
Yep. Now back to Brexit. The everlasting Brexit bunny. The UK court seems it may be necessary now. They just deemed it necessary for parliamentary approval to invoke Article 50. So here's the thing.
Yeah, that was a court decision.
I know, but here's the thing. So there's a referendum by the population of the country that they're going to do a Brexit. They're going to break away from the European, right? For the one Europe. So now the parliament, the government says, no, well, yes, that's fine. Now, in order to do this, you have to invoke Article 50. Article 50 is like a Brexit countdown of what they have to do. They have a 2-year period to get this done and all the things that have to go in order. Okay. Now, if you don't do Article 50, you're not doing a Brexit. You're not doing a breakaway.
You're not doing anything.
Right. So now the referendum was passed, but the court says that parliament needs to approve the invocation of the Article 50. So while Brexit was approved, the parliament may not vote to move on it. Therefore, it's an override. How crazy is that?
Well, it seems as though they have the votes to vote on it in a positive manner. because it's the conservatives, the Tories, that have the majority, and they, along with some other allies perhaps, they should have enough votes to vote it in. The Labor Party, which is, mystifies me, the Labor Party is all in on staying in the despite the fact that it seems to have no benefits to labor. But they want to stay, and it has benefits to labor if you don't mind bringing in a lot of foreign labor. But they're all in for staying, and so are the Scottish parties. So it's I don't know. The public will be very irked by this, by the way.
Irked is an understatement.
Yeah. A lot of guys will get voted out.
Yeah, that's the problem. And unfortunately, you would think that the referendum, which was, you know, they're going to say, well, you know, the masses don't know what's good for them, or the masses never thought it was possible. Therefore, really, we're going to have to make sure that we're their mommy and daddy here and do the right thing, what we know is the right thing, even though they voted for this. Hey, the whole thing is nuts. Now, did you see... Yeah.
I think it's going to come to a head the next month.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the inauguration ball or the inauguration
itself? I didn't see any of the balls. I just saw, well, I mean, I saw photos, but I didn't watch anything. I watched the inauguration. I watched part of the parade. A lot of the, I guess there were some stands that were empty because people couldn't get there. It was raining. I don't know. But I did notice that the media, NBC, ABC, especially CNN and MSNBC did everything they could to demean the entire event.
Yeah, the whole...
They're not on board. I don't know, maybe they're anti-American, but I thought they went out of their way to demean. And then they built up that big protest the next day.
Which was supposedly funded by Soros, like massive...
Yeah, Soros was behind... Well, he didn't actually organize it, but if anyone wanted to do something there, he was handing out money like it was candy.
Possibly because...
Apparently to 50 organizations.
Yeah, he has bets against the market, saying that the market's going to tank, and maybe he's trying to push it over the edge, like he did for the pound back in the day.
Well, he tried... You know, I was under the impression, reading some material about Soros' investments, that he had gone short on the market when Trump won, thinking that would be a good idea. And I think maybe, if anything, he's trying to recover his whatever losses he had.
Yeah, but he's maybe doubling down here.
Right. That could be.
I think he lost $1 billion, they said.
Yeah, that was the number.
$1 billion here, $1 billion there. But there was a lot. You talk about them demeaning the whole entire process. First, they start off with, well, you know, he's probably going to get out in front of the Trump Hotel and walk. Because, you know, he wants to show the Trump Hotel in the background. And then, you know, this president, what was it? Jimmy Carter walked the entire length of the whole parade, about a mile and a half from Capitol Hill to the White House. And then there was all sorts of crazy things. One of the amazing things, which I know you're going to talk about with Adam, because I spoke with him about this, and I said, what do you make of this? And I think it happened after your Sunday show, which is the No Agenda show, by the way, Thursdays and Sundays, each and every week, is dubbed as the best podcast in the universe.
Yeah, well, it is proven.
That's right. By the way, factually, 100% of people agree with that. And if you listen to the show, you'll appreciate the percentage fact issue that gets thrown around quite
100%.
Often. I think it's 99.9, but I'm not going to argue with you, okay? But this was fascinating because they in the demeaning nature of the whole inauguration this picture kind of surfaced of the entire mall and how many people were there. And there was this whole thing about, well, it looks like there's less people here. Well, no, not really, because they put down this white stuff and it just makes it easier to see things. And if you count this and you count that, and then Kellyanne Conway, who is, I think it's like Trump's muscle man, right? Isn't she pretty much?
Apparently, she got into a fight at one of the balls and punched some guy out.
Oh, really? Well, there you go.
The way the story goes, there's two guys in tuxes arguing vehemently about each other, and then they were going to go into a fist fight. She ran in there to break it up, and in the process, she took offense at one of the two guys and punched him apparently with her closed fist three times right in the head.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I would not mess with her. She seems like she could be pretty aggressive. and can take, and I bet you could take a punch too.
Maybe.
I'm telling you. Like, I'm telling you. So now she comes on Meet the Press, I think it was, and she gets kind of, you know, asked about this question over and over and over. You saw this the whole thing, right?
I did, yes.
And,
I did.
And then she comes up with something that I just, my wife said, what's the matter with you? I'm like, I'm speechless right now. She says, I am giving you alternative facts, which you'll talk about again on No Agenda, this whole thing. But I thought what I would do is come up with a list of alternative facts that have been around for a long time when it comes to investing in markets. Because what are alternative facts? I mean, if she would have said something like, I'm going to give you some alternative information to put your facts together correctly. No, she was giving alternative facts. So alternative facts are a belief from somebody or something they're trying to present that is maybe not really the facts, but trying to shroud it as fact. Would you go with that?
I'll go with it.
Okay.
So the way I see it somewhat differently, but everyone sees everything differently with this particular moment in time.
Well, do you want? Am I going to hold my breath? You tell me.
No, if you listen to No Agenda Show, we talk about it all the time. People take a look at here. Here's an example. The thing going on. If you take a look at a picture, one side will see it and interpret it completely different than somebody on the other side, a Democrat and a Republican, let's say. For example, there's a couple of photos going around condemning Trump because he's holding an umbrella. And there's a woman walking next to him that's not under the umbrella with him. He's just holding it over his hair, with the way they say it. And then they have a second photo with Obama, who's out in the rain, no umbrella over him. He's got, doesn't hold one up. He doesn't have anyone else holding one up. Behind him is Michelle, and there's an assistant or somebody holding the umbrella for her over her head. And this shows what a much better dude Obama is. It shows to me that he likes to either get wet.
Or he's unprepared.
It shows, I mean, you could take and look, and meanwhile, you have to have somebody holding the umbrella for you. You can't even hold your own umbrella.
This is the blue dress, gold dress thing.
Kind of, yeah, but it's not, now it's, that may be the indicator of what was to come, that blue dress, gold dress thing, because that's the way everything is going.
Yeah.
Everyone sees everything two different ways.
Well, let's talk about what I remember, some of the things that have been around for a very long time. Alternative factors is not a new thing. It's just the way she, you know, what she called it. And obviously that's going to be part of the common phraseology, I think, and, you know, a lot of memes will be created from that. But here's, in terms of investing in markets, alternative facts, constant currency earnings. That's an alternative fact, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Weather-related issues.
Every year.
Right? Every year. Well, let me give you the, no. Our earnings are down, but no. It's because of weather. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's good. It's like, wait a minute. Your earnings are down. It doesn't matter if it's from weather or what it is, right? Non-GAAP earnings.
Right.
One-time charges.
And the EBITDA stuff.
What if
the earnings before this, that, and the other?
Yeah, EBITDA.
EBITDA. People would always, we're doing very well, and here's our numbers, and they put these bogus numbers out there as though that means they're doing well.
Right.
You see this mostly with small companies.
But big companies are doing non-GAAP earnings left and right. So it's so GAAP stands for GAAP, Generally Accepted Accounting Principles.
Right.
So now let me read this back to you. Non-generally accepted accounting principles.
Right, exactly.
How can anybody with a straight face put out earnings like that? And why isn't the government, they're getting on this.
Somebody should crack down on that. You're right. That's the most egregious of the list.
Right. One-time charges. We have $1 billion that we're going to, one-time charge. Only one-time charge of $1 billion. Oh, it's one time. Shadow stats versus government stats.
Yep.
Okay.
By the way, just as an aside, apparently Trump's team or somebody says they're going to recalculate the way unemployment is calculated completely.
Oh, maybe they'll give a job to our man.
I think what they're going to end up doing is coming up with really nasty numbers that go all the way to 2008 saying, Obama didn't do anything, which is what our guy says. Mm-hmm. And then, so when anything happens, which will, the 2017 debacle that should take place, I'm kind of on board with Dent. You can say, well, we inherited a mess. And you just do the same thing Obama did by blaming everything on Bush.
Right. Well, but somehow this will turn around being blamed on Bush also, I'm sure. Poor guy gets all this stuff. Now, we also have more alternative facts, special treatment for bank assets during the financial crisis where the mark-to-market rules were lifted.
Oh, right. Mark-to-market. Yeah, I remember that.
Alternative facts. How about all analyst reports on stocks, by the way? Let's just leave it at that, right? Financial engineering, buybacks making EPS look better. How about this one?
Yeah, that's an alternative fact. You've been on this forever, of course, mm-hmm. and it is something of a scam.
It's a total scam. It'll come back to roost one day. See, the problem is now they're buying back all their shares. So once that happens, first of all, the markets are becoming less liquid, less shares out there, which is one of the reasons why you see things going up and squeezing up, is less stocks to buy, less shares to buy. So same amount of people, same amount of money buying the shares, it just pushes it up. The second thing is that they're buying the shares back and therefore they have more ownership of the company. And if a company doesn't do well, it could be a reverse process, very, very difficult. And when things don't go well, they're going to have to push shares back on the market to bring money back in. It could be very ugly one day. Another alternative fact,
yes, we're seeking a lot of companies.
Seeking strategic alternatives. It's more of a ploy than if it's maybe an alternative fact.
And you pointed this out every time it comes up.
Yeah, we're seeking strategic alternatives.
It always boosts the company's price.
Yeah. And finally, side pockets for hedge funds. Not used really anymore, but it used to be you'd have a hedge fund. And you'd have a group of stocks that are doing well. And these other ones that maybe are illiquid or aren't doing well, they side pocket them to not keep them not put them into the performance calculations. Side pockets.
Nice.
Yeah, side pockets. Alternative facts. There's a top 10. All right. Back to Trump for a second. A few executive orders he put into play already. He put an order that directs federal agencies to ease the regulatory burdens of Obamacare, which is the initial stage setting for a repeal.
Replace.
Yeah, but where's the replace? We still haven't heard even a shred of a plan.
There's nothing.
Okay.
We got nothing.
Yeah. An order.
I've said it. I know you're going to groan at this. I've argued this on the No Agenda show, and I argue it every place. Why don't they just do what they should have done in the first place when Obama had the chance, but he couldn't do anything because he's beholden to insurance companies, and just ditch the whole thing and make it Medicare for everyone? And the reason I say that, which is single payer, and the reason I suggest this is because nobody bitches about Medicare except Paul Ryan.
I'm in total agreement.
They like it.
They
say that they'll vote against any candidates who do anything about it, the oldsters who use Medicare, who are allowed to do it. I can't remember what was put into place. I think it was put into place by Republicans, actually. And it's beloved. And you can then you have the leverage that you need to make the medical system work. Right now, there's no leverage. You can't make them change the drug prices. You can have hearings and you can bring these guys forward, but they won't do anything. It's still going to be $500 for a $1 pill. It's just out of control, and you have to do something drastic. And I think Medicare for everybody is the solution. I'm sorry to say it.
By the way, I totally agree with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think because first of all, not maybe Medicare under its current form, but let's call it a single payer plan. I think that is
I will stop you there because I think because of the bad image that has been portrayed for so-called single payer, I don't think people even understand what it means.
It's the same thing as Medicare.
I think Medicare for everybody is more amenable.
Okay.
I think people would warm up to it.
But it's a single payer plan. You want to call it this, you want to call it that. That's what it is.
Yes, I do. I want to call it that.
Okay, let's just call it the best insurance policy in the world and that's fine.
Oh, that's okay too.
Yeah. let's see what he did. He signed an order imposing a hiring freeze for some federal government workers as a way to shrink the size of government, excluding the military, because we want to build a military. He signed a notice that the U.S. will begin withdrawing from the TPP or the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He ordered a reinstatement of the so-called Mexico City policy. It's a ban on federal funds to international groups that perform abortions or lobby to legalize abortions. And what was the other thing that he did? He did something else. Withdrawal of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. There was something else.
Yeah, there was something. What was it? A freeze on federal hiring.
Yeah. So, and then we'll talk about later. One of the, they actually put the clamp on one of their agencies because they tweeted something and they stopped all outward media related to it. We'll talk about that a second.
That's pretty funny if you think about it.
I want to go back.
There's your irony.
Yeah, of course. I want to go back to something that we had some crazy weather here this week. So now that Trump's in and now I think is are they stirring up the global warming machine or something? Because you had some crazy weather in California.
Well, we've been getting barrage. It was just raining every day. We've already gotten rid of the drought. That was supposed to take a decade. Oh, it's going to take years and years before we get our water back up. All the reservoirs are so high that they're opening the spillways. So we're throwing water away.
And this is on the heels of a drought that was like yesterday.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's like a drought a month ago, and now there's too much water to deal with. Yeah, this is very California.
Yeah, we had 60 mile an hour winds here yesterday. How long have you been in California?
We had some high winds too, which ripped off a bunch of my shingles. I have to get an adjustment or something.
Mm. Airlines. Now they're getting into this basic economy business. So I was on an airline and I was flying back from DC. And I'm sitting there and I said, if there's nobody, I had two people next to me. I said, if there's nobody in those seats over there, can I have one of those seats when we take, oh, sure. Don't go ahead of the emergency exit row. And I said, well, what do you mean? What's the difference? It's right there. It's two rows up. Well, that's economy. Well, what am I in? What is that? Oh, yeah, I'm in basic economy. I'm like, what's the difference? But now a lot of airlines are getting into this whole thing where they're going.
Yeah, there's varieties of economy.
Yeah. Premium economy, basic economy, crappy economy, I guess. No bags in the overhead compartments for basic economy. Less room. I can attest to that. Yep. I didn't have the no bags in the overhead compartments, but I think it's American and United are now having a seat, which cost you a little bit less, that no bags in the overhead compartment, less room, more costs for extras, for bags and things like that.
Yeah, it's like $25 a bag. What is the economy? Is it $25 cheaper? Then it's a wash.
I don't understand. It's crazy.
But people that go crazy with SKUs, SKUs. This is what happened to Apple when they almost went broke. They had all these different guys running the company, and they all of a sudden they had like a 40, 50 models. You didn't know what to buy.
Well, you're going to go for the cheapest usually and then find out too late is the problem when it comes to airline tickets.
Yes, the seats are crappy. They're too small. You've got no leg room, and then you have to pay extra for this and that. And the other thing, you might as well just buy a more expensive seat.
Yeah, I agree. But long are the days. Well, unless you sit in business or maybe this premium economy with more leg room. The U.S.-based airlines.
Sounds like Russia.
Yeah, U.S.-based airlines are terrible anyway. That's a whole different discussion. You know, you get on economy on a foreign airline, like an Asian airline, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Not to mention most of the people that are on the plane in terms of the staff are about 50 years younger than those on American Airlines. Now, you have like 75-year-old, what do they call flight attendants? Can't call them stewardesses. Flight attendants. And you're like, that's okay. That's great. But it just is a strange thing when you see the old days, the TWA flight attendants and pilots, you know, well-dressed. And, you know, on one airline I flew last summer, they changed their outfits like three times on the flight.
Well, what was this?
This was on Korea Air.
Oh, yeah. Well, those Asian carriers are all great.
Yeah.
But they're subsidized by the government.
That's okay. Okay, so
it's fine with me too. I don't care. I mean, I've been on all of them, and my favorite is Singapore is probably technically mm-hmm. the best. But yeah. When I fly Singapore, I always take a midnight flight because they have this one flight. I don't know if it still goes, but it's a flight to I think it's to Hong Kong or Singapore, maybe. Anyway, it's you leave at 11 at night from San Francisco, and then you just roll out the beds, and you sleep all, so you don't get to take advantage of anything. Because you're sleeping the whole time.
And my wife likes to sleep. She says, we have to sleep. We have to sleep. You know, we got to go to Asia. We have to sleep because we want to get up. I'm like, what are you kidding me? I'm flying business or first class. You know, we stock up these miles. It's great. And So we fly business first class. It's like a vacation in itself. You know, the last one I was on, I had unlimited Johnny Walker Blue the whole flight. And I made well use of it. Let me tell you something. Anyway, let's talk about some more business things. Steve Munchkin, the next
Mnuchin, I think.
Mnuchin, the next secretary of the treasurer of the treasury, says excessively strong dollar could be negative, which is on the heels of what Trump had been saying. And now that, by the way, they're all walking around with the old, oh, we're going to brand China a currency manipulator. You know, the old, we got the letter in my jacket pocket that I carry around with me. But nobody, like, who's not a currency manipulator now? Why are you going to say China is? And what if they are a currency manipulator now that currency was finally put into the basket? You know, it's the stupidest thing ever. They're going to call them a currency. Like, we're not a currency manipulator. Just the concept of that and the quantitative easing. You're telling me that Mario Draghi is not a currency manipulator? And I say Japan? Japan's not a currency manipulator? They're the top.
Yeah, they're probably right at the top of the list. You're right.
Exactly. All right, a few more things here. Remember that stock I talked about, dry ships, a few weeks ago? There are dry.
Yes, I do remember.
Dry bulkers. I was looking at it again. The stock went from like $1.50 or so, and just in a number of days went up to like $105.
Yes.
It was unbelievable. Then there's a few things, and I think somebody realized, oh my God, what did I do? And then they sold down to like, I don't know, $5 and $8.
Back to five,
Well, not only is it back to five, it had a 1-for-8 split, reverse split. Okay, now it's back to five.
A reverse split.
Yeah, reverse split.
So you tell me this thing was trading at $100 just a few days before. Now it has to do a reverse split to stay alive.
No, it did 105. It went down to 60 cents. Did a 1-for-8 reverse split. It was like at eight or nine. Today it closed down at 460. Now, here's what's interesting. I went back on the chart to see what it was used to be worth. If you look at the all-time high back in 2008 on a split-adjusted basis, $1.5 million per share. What a great short that would have been, huh?
Holy crap. Yeah, you'd still be living on that money.
Oh, yeah. When would you finally get out of that? It's like the short of a lifetime. 1.5, you know, because they split so many times, reverse split, that the share price goes up each time and it doubles and then they do it in 8-for-1. That's an eight bagger right there if it comes back down to the same price.
What is this company again?
Dry Ships, D-R-Y-S. They're one of the dry bulk shippers. You know, a variety of different products they're shipping around the world. And they went up right after during the time when Trump was coming in, and I'm thinking, why would this stock go up if there's going to be all these tariffs and trade wars? And why would and still some of these are moving pretty readily. Crazy. These stocks are out of control.
Yeah, I would say that's exactly true.
Now, if you want to follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter, I can encourage you to do so. The Real Dvorak. And myself, Andrew Horowitz, is the Twitter handle there. You can also donate to the show, by the way. If you're listening live right now, you can go over to DH Unplugged and click on the donate button and donate a couple of shekels here or there to the show. We use it for good use, like paying for all this unbelievable technology we have and, you know, all the staff reporters we have creating these stories for you each and every week. There you go.
Yeah.
So
I recommend it.
Yeah, go over to DH Unplugged. And that guy that doesn't like when I beg for money, God damn it. Pay up. There you go. Close to the pin competition. We have a winner. A winner for Amazon. The winner for Amazon, Rick H., came in 42 cents away from the actual price of 808.33. 808.75. He was a little high. 0.05% away. The average price for entries was $789, which was about 2.5-3% away.
What was my number?
You were 821. You came in 1.5% away. I was 765. I came in at 5.5%.
I was the optimist.
Yeah, you were good. I was just kind of basing it off of where it was at the time, looking for it not to move too much, and it moved. Now we have a new close to the pin competition that we're announcing. Now this is all for shirts, and at the end of the year, you'll also be invited to a invitation only close to the pin cup. Now last year's winner got You got Amazon gift cards. You got golf balls. You got books. You got T-shirts. You got a trophy, a big trophy, by the way. It's probably, what's that? About a 24-inch trophy.
Nice.
Yeah, really nice. Engraved with his name. We're not going to ask him to give it. We're thinking, why don't we have one that gets passed around? I'm like, I don't think I can get it back.
Yeah, like the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get it back, you know, once I get it out there. So we have a new Close to the Pin. I thought this would be really interesting because their earnings are coming up. I believe it's on February 1st, and that's Facebook.
Oh, geez.
Now, if that doesn't get people involved, I don't know what. We have a good amount of people that participate in this. This is the Close to the Pin competition. Go over to dhunplugged.com. And you can just enter in your guess of what it will be on the closing date, which will be the 20th of January. So in other words, you put your entry in at what price it is that you think it will be on the 20th of, no, excuse me, not the 20th. I'm on the wrong thing here. That's wrong because that's the current one. It's closing on the 31st of January. So you can, and the price will be on the 3rd. So, yeah, it's open now through the 31st. So go over there okay. and check it out.
Good.
Yeah. Got a little lost there. Sorry. A little lost. This whole thing. Listen, I don't know how Adam does it. I just got one thing going, this live deal going here, and I'm all.
Now he goes in a zone. He's pushing buttons.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got two extra arms that he attaches for the show.
It must be. Let's see here. And there's all charts on that. You can check it out. Okay. Continuing on here. The Aetna takeover of Humana was blocked by the courts. There, I guess they're thinking there's just too few, which it makes a bit of sense in this environment. I mean, we've really had a lot of takeovers in this whole HMO healthcare area, and it's blocked by the courts. I don't know. Do you think that's the end of this, or is this going to be playing out and eventually it's just going to happen anyway? Like everything seems to happen.
I don't really know. I'm kind of befuddled by this because we have the change in, if it wasn't a change in administrations and I had a little feeling for how these guys are going to act, I would have maybe an opinion.
But it's interesting that some of the companies like Humana who pulled out of many of the, if not all of the states for the Affordable Care Act, their profitability has gone up dramatically. They're losing a lot of money, or at least they're saying they're losing a lot of money, these companies that are in the Obamacare plan, Affordable Care Act. Mm. Well, it's going to be called Obamacare.
Well, I still like to have somebody. I'd like to see a report with somebody breaking this down.
You're not going to get the truth, though. You're not going to get the facts.
Yeah, there's something amiss.
I just don't think they like it. They try. I mean, there is no way, even with all the people that they have in there that are uninsurable and high risk, that they're losing money because of the incredible increase in rates they've had over time.
I think they're probably not losing money, but they're not making enough money as far as they're concerned.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's true. It's never enough. So I mentioned earlier that Trump put in all these things, and you know, it seems that the National Park Service, did you read about this? The National Park Service retweeted some of the, some sick Donald Trump burns, noting how lightly attended his inauguration was compared to Barack Obama's. Now they've been ordered by its Washington support office to immediately cease and desist use of government's Twitter account until further notice. They also, this is reporting this was Gizmodo. They've been very sensationalistic lately. But I don't know what Gizmodo reports this, by the way.
Why? What's it got to do with anything?
Yeah. So Reuters put a nice report together and they showed how.
You know what I've noticed amongst all these tech guys?
Yeah.
They all want to be political correspondents.
Yeah. And somehow they get it's not going to end well for them with that. But it's interesting that they've been ordered to stop. Not only that, but some other media also. There's emails are under scrutiny. Any kind of press releases have to stop and be passed through certain areas now. And it seems to me that's a little bit, it has a flavor of a dictatorship.
Mussolini.
Yeah, just a little bit, right? I mean, it's amazing that what happened to free speech? You can do free speech as long as.
Well, you're working for somebody. Free speech doesn't apply to you, your job. If your boss tells you you can't do this, you could, yeah, you can quit and say anything you want. That's true. There's your free speech. But while you're getting paid by someone and they tell you to stop, you have, unless you want to get fired, have to stop. It's got nothing to do with free speech. It's you're obligated to the employer.
And how's the what's the relation with the National Park Service with this? Is it because they're in charge of the mall, the Washington area?
Where I don't know. Maybe it's one of those stories that just passes by. Who cares?
All right.
I know they're giving up a lot of property, but apparently it's going to be a big move to dump a bunch of government property, which is, you know, some of its parts of park, some of its parts of held park-like areas that Trump may want to dump. I know the right-wingers have been, the adamant ones, have been bitching about the government buying up most of the country. They've been buying up, like, land and kicking people off of it and then making it a preserve of some sort as if they're buying the whole country up. And there was a lot of people complaining about that. Now that if that gets starts to reverse, they'll be complaining about that too.
Well, speaking about tech guys, you know, Jason Calacanis, remember that name?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is he still around in the tech world?
Yeah, he floats around. He's down. He lives in L.A. as far as I know, and he comes up here once in a while to go to things.
I don't know if you knew this, but I was watching a I think it was last night, Poker After Dark, I think it's called. You know, one of those poker shows, you know. And I see this kind of this guy with this mouth and this high pitched, very annoying mannerisms and way he does things.
Yeah,
and
that would be Calacanis
joking around and nervously joking and all that. And I'm. And I notice, and then I see the cards go around, and I'm like, God, the guy looks familiar. Who is that guy? And all right, Calacanis is move. I'm like, wait a minute, that's Jason Calacanis playing big money, big,
yeah,
large,
yeah. But that's does anyone know that this is these guys aren't putting this money up? They're given a stake.
Well, this is supposedly the private game, and you have some of the major players.
Yeah, it's a private game on television. How private can it be?
Yeah, I mean, pots get to 20-30 grand.
There's something phony about the whole thing. I can't even stand watching those. That who he's got a three. Oh, there's a three in the hole.
I like it. It puts me to sleep. It's a good.
It would put anyone to sleep.
Good nighttime kind of thing.
No, Jack. Yeah, Jason's always been a poker player.
Ah, well, that explains that. Well, we have some leftovers. Oh no, I have some other things to talk about first. Encyclopedias. You and I know what that is, right? But you know, I was thinking, does anybody born after 1995 know what they were?
I really doubt it.
That was like the place you would do all your reports from school from. Was the encyclopedia. What do you have? A Britannica? And what was the other ones?
Americana. That was the other big one.
And you had these guys that would come around. And
then Collier's had a little one. You get a little one. Collier's had a smaller one. And then there was a third, fourth one. But Encyclopedia Britannica was the big one. And then Encyclopedia Americana was kind of a wannabe. And then Collier's, I think, was another one. And then I think there was a fourth that I can't quite remember.
And then after the encyclopedias, when the internet started to become very much more usable, remember how all the encyclopedias was like, oh, look, not only does it tell you what about volcanoes, but it has an active volcano on it. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, wow.
Well, the first, before the internet came along, they had all these, you know, they're starting to put these encyclopedias on CD-ROMs.
Right, exactly.
And then there was a bunch of lawsuits about who could do it. And then the internet came along and it changed everything. And I think the encyclopedia is pretty much Wikipedia seems to be where all the information you want is.
Yeah, whether it's right or wrong.
Right. It's very inaccurate. The Encyclopedia Britannica is online and it's a good source of material.
All right. We have some things about, we're going to get to our stock picks in a few minutes, but before we do so, we have some things that we had left over. If you remember from last week, we had a long show last week. First thing was, the most hated company in America, according to the American Consumer Satisfaction Index, JD Power Associates and Zogby Analysts.
You know, let me guess.
Yeah.
Let me get.
Yeah.
The most hated company in America is J.D. Powers.
Could be. But they don't show themselves in the polls for those reasons. Any thoughts on who it could be? I mean, who's hated? I mean, what company's hated? The car manufacturers? Not really. Maybe not them. Drug companies, maybe? Health insurance companies?
I think a drug company. It's got to be a drug company.
Could be a drug company. I mean, but you don't have a lot of direct interaction. I guess it's also who has the most out there. Supposedly it's Comcast.
Oh, yeah, this Comcast has cropped up in this survey before.
I got
And the
tell
funny
you,
thing about crazy. It is I've always had good luck with
Comcast. I've always had good luck too. Everybody talks to me. What do you think about Comcast? Hate them. Why do you hate them? They must be reading some stuff. This is kind of like, it seems like news that's planted by AT&T.
Or that's what it seems like. Time Warner Cable, whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
They got a new name.
Very high dissatisfaction surveys. It seems like people, I have them. I think their X1 system that they have is fantastic. All right. So the internet, maybe, you know, maybe there's a problem here or there, but nothing major. But I got to tell you something, that whole, with the remote that you push the button you talk to and it lights up and stuff when you touch it, that's the best.
Well, I don't have that. I'm not at that level, but because for my television, I still use the Dish Network and I have Comcast as backup. And although I'm playing around with a lot of OT over the air stuff, there's a couple of little cheap boxes that you can get and hook a just a cheap, you can either stick a memory stick in there or you can put on a cheap, you know, terabyte disc and it turns it into a PVR for over the air television.
Perfect.
And the device costs like $35.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot of things going on.
Yep. Wells Fargo is eliminating its practice of, this is what they used to do. They give retail bankers a day's notice before an internal inspection of the branch. Boy, is this company a piece of shit or what?
Wow.
I mean, this is a company that was kind of like the cream of the crop, right? This was Wells Fargo. I mean, as a bank, they didn't do other things like a JP Morgan or Goldman Sachs, but as a bank, they were like the gold standard. You know, Warren Buffett is, you know, totally invested in the deal, never getting out of it, loves the company, keeps on adding more to it. They give the retail branches a day's notice before the internal inspectors. I mean, can you imagine? That's like as a kid, you know what? Mom's coming in 3 hours to inspect your room. You got plenty of time to do what you got to do there. So.
I would hope.
Yeah, I would think so.
Why should you give them 2 days?
Yeah. For the first time, I think I mentioned, we mentioned some things about, a moth that was named after Trump, the Trump Mothula or something like that. But for the first time, a bee species in the United States has been declared endangered. The rusty-patched bumblebee is in worrisome decline.
Where are they from?
And it's a race from keeping it becoming extinct. Yeah, I don't know. But is this something that we're worried about? I guess maybe because
we should be.
I guess because of
they're poisoning these bees somehow.
Pollinating, of course.
Nobody's doing anything about it.
Cross-pollination.
But the bumblebee is one of the great animals there is. Bumbles around.
It has a great life.
Big giant thing.
Yep. And he can hover. It's like the original drone.
Yeah.
This is the 100th day anniversary today since Flint, Michigan had clean drinking water. Yep. The world's most profitable company, Walmart. Supposedly the world's most profitable company.
In terms of making a profit or in terms of margins?
In terms of the
net. How can you be more profitable than a software company?
I guess they have tremendous amount of revenue. This is what the story says, but maybe this is according to Automotive News. If you have any complaints, bring it up with them. But Walmart is getting into the car business, selling cars. They're partnering with several dealership groups, including AutoNation, to introduce car sales in 25 Walmart stores across the Southwest.
Huh. What are they going to sell?
They're going to sell these cars. Now, they're not going to have like
a whole. It's not going to be a Walmart car.
No. It's going to be whatever cars that it's just a partnership.
Oh, it's going to be like the way Costco sells cars.
Costco sells cars?
Yeah.
I thought they sell tires.
No, you can buy cars from Costco.
Yeah, they're going to have a car saver kiosk, which I think is a good idea. I can't, the whole notion of having gigantic, you know, 10 acre or 20 acre lots filled with cars just seems stupid to me. The way Tesla does it is a much better idea. Like you did in the old days. You didn't get a car on the spot.
Tesla's the new, I think Tesla's modeled after the old Kaisers. It used to be, you know, one car in the showroom and you'd pick from the catalog and they could make car custom for you.
Right.
You can still get your cars made custom.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get to the stocks, were you writing something about Twitter for PC Magazine?
Yes, I wrote something about how to save Twitter.
You have something new and different? You have to read the article, I suppose.
I don't know. I just haven't heard this stuff. And the next column, which is coming up, I guess, on tomorrow, It's going to be about about the new video streaming services by Facebook, and it all began with Meerkat and some of the bad stuff that's happening, including the suicide. It's going to become the place to watch somebody kill themselves.
Oh, so we got like snuff movies on Facebook.
It's what it's going to be.
Yeah, it's a snuff book.
Yeah.
It's kind of a legalized way. You can't stop anybody because it's live streaming. You can't stop somebody from live streaming.
Right, you can't stop the live streaming. So my conclusion is they should just shut these services down immediately.
Does that include live streaming of radio?
No, audio? I'm talking about Facebook and places where all these guys, show up. Because, for example, most of this live streaming that takes place outside of Facebook or Twitter is usually like a TV show or something. And it has some people have some sense. It's not like just some random person. It's not as easy to just randomly grab a camera and then live stream it through. You don't have a system. I mean, for example, the streaming of this audio, it's a process.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just clicking a button and then shooting yourself.
Yep. With that in mind, let's get over to the stock. Some things that we talk about each and every week, some stock picks, some ideas, some things that we do as a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation to do anything other than just think about what we're talking about. If, in fact, you decide to do anything with this, please find professional financial advice to bounce the idea off with. We're not responsible for anything that you do. And also, if myself, John C. Dvorak, or Horowitz & Company clients own any of the stocks, we will duly note that in the disclosures. You can find the weekly stock picks over on dhunplugged.com. Now, we still got a lot of green here, buddy.
Yes, that's a plus.
Yeah. We got the big wiener that we decided to hold, by the way. We could have dumped it at the end of the year. Is Barclays up 57%.
I love that. Yeah, I hope it goes the whole year without edging down 10%.
Yeah. You got Herbalife, which put up 8.5%. There's a lot of buying going on with it and people saying great things. But however, they came out with a warning recently. Stock was down about 4% that they're going to have significantly lower revenues, which was the whole thesis. The TBT, the inverse long bond, is up 19%. Kinder Morgan up 13%. Resolute Energy up 43%. TransDigm Digital is on the edge here, looking like it could get unscrewed from its corkscrew chart.
Well, at the corkscrew chart, it could go up or down at the end of the corkscrew, and it went down.
Yep. What do we got? We got stopped out on uranium resources. Cameco is still holding at plus 9%. Retractable Technologies is up 8%.
Up a whopping 8%.
Yeah, that's good. It's last week.
Yeah, it was just last week.
Yeah. I got two choices. I mentioned them, Facebook Short.
Okay.
Facebook earnings are coming out February 1st. I'm figuring, they talked about last quarter that they're going to have significantly lower revenue. Stock has just been running up since. And I just thought maybe it's possible that some of this social media stuff, and they probably have some good, they may have some good numbers because of the political coverage recently, but they talked about there's no way they can keep up with it. And there's a lot of reasons why. We also saw companies say they're not going to be doing a lot of advertising moving forward, but who knows? It's worth a shot. And buying Qualcomm, overdone bounce. That's my two.
Okay. I have a one.
Okay.
Again, it's an insider's thing, but I like the chart. It appears to be in a channel going up, and there's a new kind of a sub channel that makes it look like it's going to go up faster. And this is ADES, Advanced Emission Solutions.
ADES.
Yeah, they have real earnings. Oh, they have a PEG of 0.23. Can't beat that.
Nope, that's pretty low.
And it looks like something's going to happen.
$9 stock. All right, well, let's put that there.
It's a $9 stock.
All right, well, that's looking good. We'll put insider thing as the thesis on that. Is there a 10% stop on that? Standard 10% stop. I think things are going along pretty well. We'll have to see. I mean, there's a lot of momentum in this market right now. So it definitely leans to the buy side. What you see, our list, we have one short on the list, and we're adding one right now with Facebook. But, we've had very few shorts on here for a while.
I noticed.
I mean, you shorted some Apple at the end of the year. I tried to short U.S. Steel. That was a bust.
It hasn't
really moved since
then. Last year was not a good year to short.
No. I mean, unless you got caught it just right. And we did catch Shake Shack for 18%.
That's like being in a down market and catching the up stocks just right. It's just, you want the whole market to be collapsing. That is easy.
Much easier. Much easier.
All right, what else? Try to get the maximum, the one that goes the worst.
What else do we have to add? Anything else to add?
No, I think that should do it. This is our first trial balloon for the streaming. Now you have to have a chat room.
Oh, boy. Well, we're going to end it there and listen to our outro. Here it comes. And maybe.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.